Well, another installment of the Nostradamus show. I know it all and you don't. That's basically what that means. And I have my special guest who's been a special guest now quite a bit now.
Let's just do a show together.
That's what I mean. He's when he's not writing books.
I'm here.
And not in band or doing sound.
Right.
He's here letting me bounce off the craziness that goes on every day now.
Maybe besides Facebook.
But I wanted to start off with one thing that was really bugging me over this past week. The Cleveland Indians changed their name to the Cleveland Guardians. Now, here's my problem with this, and you have to just help me with it. Try to comprehend.
Oh, I'm going to upset people with this.
But I just, okay. So I get, okay, if we call them the War Indians or the Sioux Indians, whatever you want to call the Braves. Okay, the Braves.
The Warriors would have been great, but the Guardians, so they didn't do a very good job guarding their country, so why are you going to change?
Whatever we're going to call, now saying the name Indian is bad. I don't get it. So look, I'm part American Indian. I'm not offended at all by a team calling it Indians. We did have Indians. There are Indians. Right.
It's actually a.
You mess with the logo a little bit and you calm down the war part of it and you just call them the Cleveland American Indians. You just call them the Indians.
The Guardians.
So now a group of eight people with a canteen and a sack lunch out in front has gotten a team, a billionaire, to change the name of the team
to the Guardians.
So a handful of people. So here's what I'm going to ask you. I've got some other offensive things. So let's now, what about the Vikings? Vikings pillaged.
I'm offended. I'm sure somebody my history was a Viking.
And the Vikings were bad people at times. So what? We crossed them off.
Right.
Okay, Cowboys. I guarantee they're bad Cowboys. They killed some Indians.
They killed Indians.
So
yeah.
No, that's Dallas. Racist. Well, Dallas Cowboys are out. So I can go down this list all day long and have offensive.
There's, you know what, you go back in the history of anybody, there's going to be something was wrong or bad or whatever, you know, but, you know. People.
Pittsburgh Steelers, there were bad steel workers. There were a couple of bad guys. End of Steelers, let's say.
People need to calm
down. We're exploiting Dolphins with the Miami Dolphins. That's the end of that.
That is PETA. You know, we're
exploiting them.
Yeah, we got
to
get rid of
the Dolphins. And what's wrong with the Tigers? Something wrong with the Tigers? What are you trying to say? Tigers are bad?
Right.
It's the end of the Detroit Tigers.
Cancel that. Yeah, got to cancel the Seahawks.
And we're
going to cancel Ravens, you know.
Well, we have to start. We have to start mixing this up. Can't just be big, tough like Lions, Tigers. How about the
Bears, oh my.
Soft kitties? We'll call them the kittens. The bluebirds.
The bluebirds. Yeah, people need to calm and the hell down for real.
Pittsburgh hummingbirds. I just get completely
the Pittsburgh dark kettles.
People, huh? The small group of people have this say over the majority of people. When did that start happening? Where we move heaven and earth for this group of people? And I guarantee most of them are not American Indians that are complaining about this.
You know what? This all it's like reminds me of AOC. You know, she got her seat being voted in with like 250,000 people. That wasn't the margin. That's all the people that voted for her.
Right.
That's it. 250,000 out of 350 million people. We got to put up with that person.
Yeah.
You know, over
with a ton of exposure and does a lousy job every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first thing I wanted to talk a little bit more about this vaccine, because now they're giving away marijuana in Washington.
Good.
So now
they need to calm the hell down too. Know,
now we're actually giving away alcohol, shotguns, and
shooters for everyone.
But here's the only thing I'm saying. Every commercial that I sit through and I watch, every pharmaceutical commercial, I've got to wade through 50 things that could happen to you.
The side effects,
Valar, like, whatever. Yeah. This and that. Throw up, death.
Could be death.
Forget
heart attack,
the high blood pressure.
Seepage,
yeah, forget it. I'll take the high blood pressure.
I'll be all right. Yeah.
But this vaccine apparently has no side effects, no nothing. It's just beautiful and perfect. but it also doesn't seem to stop the COVID.
You know, what's awesome is everybody hated it because Trump did it with the, with the, what do you call it? The warp speed.
Warp speed.
And everybody was like, no, no, no. But then all of a sudden you have to get the vaccine. You have to, you have to, you have to. And it's like, what is with all the flip flop? But the thing is, though, is, you know what? I think there is kind of a something going along with people that, I don't know if it's, you know, this isn't based on fact. This is just my own opinion and things that I've noticed by just paying attention. But people that are getting the worst side effects are the ones that really don't need the vaccine. They got good immune systems, or they got the antibodies or something like that. They get the vaccine and it's almost like they're getting, they're overdosing on what they need. And they're the ones that are actually getting 95% effective. Well, 5% out of 350 million people is a large margin. You know what I mean?
And I don't even believe any number that they even give you, because a goofball Joe was telling that everybody that got this new strain, the Delta, were people unvaccinated. But then, I don't know, a country called England said 60% of the people that have it already had the vaccine for COVID. So
well, I'm sure it has nothing to do with a million border jumpers in June that came in that weren't tested. Or
we didn't care about them.
You know,
we're going to mask.
So they're going to yell at us for not wearing a mask, but they're not going to, you know, worry about
that.
But
you're going to have millions of people come in sickly, throw them on planes, drop them all over the country. And that's not something you bring up at all.
You can't say that. Yeah, that's racist.
But I just, but here's the thing.
That's not,
we're joking about this, and I heard today on a couple of shows people joking about how ridiculous. When are we going to do anything about it?
We're not. I'll tell you what. It's really going to have to do within 18 months when we have to take the houses, or we're screwed.
I mean, this stuff just keeps going on, and nobody has to pay the price. We're a 24-hour society.
Well, it's 24 everybody hours, else's fault. It's easy to point the finger.
You could get on the air and say, I'd love to kill all you people. And then 24 hours later, I didn't say that.
Well, don't say the K-I-L-L word.
They can get away with it.
You'll get thrown in Facebook jail for that.
Yeah. Yeah, my friend Gary Palcisco wrote on Facebook.
Cisco.
Somebody put a picture of a spider. He said, wow, heck with killing that. I'd burn the house down.
Oh,
he got kicked off for.
Did he really?
Yeah,
get out of here. There was actually a meme circulating for like 10 years about that. And
he got kicked off for that. But I said from day one, this whole thing was just to see how much control, and we're letting this go. Here we go again. They're going to do the same thing.
I don't doubt that one.
Have masks, and then all the government, why it's political, is because now they control your libraries, your all your places, schools, the airports, and that. They will. This thing will never go away. They'll just keep this stupid, and still not one study that a mask does anything at all.
And the thing is, though, is it's around forever now. I mean, it's just like the. It's. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's the flu. I'm saying it's like the flu in the fact that it's always going to be around. I mean, it's just it's going to work. Run its course, but it's out. It's out there now. So it's not going away. So
the chances of a 16-year-old having symptoms that are marginally serious doesn't even come close to the percentage that are going to get in an auto wreck and be seriously injured. So should we just not let anybody drive?
Yeah, now? We got to ban vehicles for sure.
Looking at the numbers, you just ban everything.
Ban everything. Bubble wrap everybody.
Just bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap everyone.
The case fun police. Happens.
You know how many? You know what? And it's like off topic, but kind of the same thing. But you remember growing up, like all the swimming pools in the cities and stuff like that. You know, when was it that they started pulling all the diving boards out?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? It was just
have nice ones at Packard Park.
And it's like now, it's like, you know, everybody's got to be bubble wrapped. You know, so.
Farmer Jim's had that real high dive. I used to love jumping off that.
I used to live down the road from. I used to live in Craig Beach for a while. Yeah. In my
former gyms, that was a place to go.
Absolutely, yeah, that was. Awesome.
I was in my 20s.
Yeah, that was fun. And then, but
the same crowds went from one place to another. Friday night they're at the VIP. Saturday night they're at Damon's and Crack, UConn Jacks, and all those. And then they'd all show up at Farmer Gyms. It was like this whole nobody, the youth today has no clue nothing, how
and,
that
and,
was.
And they got nothing to do.
I mean, and it was a nonstop, tons of stuff to do. And you just seen these same people, even people you don't want to see, you see them over and over again because everybody went everywhere.
Teen years, I used to love going to like the Gatsby and
Gatsby.
The Caboose. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, the Gatsby.
I never made it to the VIP. That was, but yeah, the Gatsby and the Gatsby was great. Yeah.
They had the bicycle club. And then they had the big, what was that big balloon they had on 422? It was a dome. It was a dome out in the back of
The golf dome.
Yeah. The dome on 422. Everybody went there.
You said 422, and I started thinking about this after this band played.
It was across the street from where Damon's was, right there on 422. Oh my gosh, it was the most popular place. I can't believe I can't remember that.
Neither.
Why isn't somebody calling to tell me the name?
Somebody call in. We need some haters in our lives. Come in and pick on us. No,
that was a huge place right there. But there was like seven of them, and they were full all the time. Mm-hmm. So they had Woody's Thursday ladies night on Woody's over there off of Mahoning. Wow. And they had a place everywhere. And all of them were filled up. They had the Boatyard, Trade Winds. Walk from one place to the other.
I almost forgot about all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there was always things to do. You know, you had the swim clubs, you had the parks, you had, go-karts and batting cages and drive-ins. Well, we are lucky, like in Warren, we do have two drive-ins still. But still, there's just nothing for anybody to do. So what are they going to do?
It is quite amazing.
Sit inside and get woke.
But I mean, it's sad, really.
It is, yeah.
Because people come into town, what's there to do? You don't even have anywhere you could take them if you wanted to. Clients or anything. Where are you gonna take them? Scrapper game?
Strip club.
take them to the truck stop.
Oh yeah, yeah. Go to Club 76.
Well, hey, what's the latest on any local band? I mean, you got your ear on that. What's
you know what I do? I gotta throw a shout out to the Source Band. Gina Oriti's band. She's fantastic, and her band's tight. Sounds really good. I stepped in with them and ran sound for them on a Saturday at Leon's. They were fantastic. I actually say it was a treat for me just to watch. I mean, I was just like in awe.
What kind of music were they doing?
Pretty much run of the mill. What you're going to get around town, you know. It's like they started off with, I mean, they did like Journey and they did some hair bands and they did like some Stevie Nicks and stuff like that, you know.
Oh,
but Gina's got a fantastic, powerful voice. Yeah, she's amazing. And I haven't seen a whole lot going on. I think we're just now starting to get to where people are starting to play again, so I don't know. I'm still just kind of keeping my ears out trying to figure out where everybody's playing and what everybody's doing, because everything's been so shut down that,
yeah.
I mean, when did they start playing again? Not too long ago, I don't think.
I think it was about a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. They just started, but then they had all the rain on the weekends and that. But
no.
You know, the amp's firing up; it's doing its thing.
That's right. That's going. And then when I was coming down here, I go, you got a Covelli Center right across the bridge. Is that the new place at the new pavilion or the amphitheater here? All right, with that big orange.
Right, and you can go see Foreigner, which has been around how many times for like these ridiculous amounts of money. My predictions, I hate them, but you're not. I don't care how desperate people are; they're not going to go see the tambourine player of a band with five new guys around them and the lead singer not there. It's just not. It's not.
It's tough. Happening. Some bands can get away with it. Some can. You know, it's like Queensryche. I can't go see them without Jeff Tate. You know what I mean? It's just, but you know, some bands can get away with it. You know, I mean, you had the whole Van Halen thing, and I know you're a big David Roth fan, but they made it with Sammy, but it was just, you know.
But if it was not, some bands you can't do certain that. Voices though,
yeah,
make like, the band like
nobody could take Ozzy's place.
Or AR Atlanta Rhythm Section was that guy's voice was the Atlanta Rhythm Section, so you can't. Or Molly Hatchet. You're not going to replace that guy's voice in Molly Hatchet unless you find somebody that's... Although Foreigner did find somebody pretty pretty close.
Well, it's like when Journey got that.
Yeah, that guy. I mean, just like.
Oh my goodness! It was like I had no. I didn't really care to go see him or anything like that. Yeah, but then I watched a documentary on him, and I was just like, and then I got like a respect for him, and then I would go see him, but I think he quit the band. Yeah. I don't even think he's there anymore. But yeah, some people can get away with it, and some, like I say, remember Dokken?
Yeah.
I can't go see Dokken without George Lynch in it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some people you just can't replace.
Or the Rat without the Searcy. I mean, Piercy, Stephen Piercy.
You know what? I hate to pag on anyone. Well, no, I don't. Stephen Piercy. I did a backline for him up at Geneva on the Lake, and with Hubbard Music sent me up.
Yeah. They did a lot of that backline for us.
Stephen Piercy, I have to say, was an asshole. He was a dick.
He isn't good enough to be an ass.
Well, the thing is, though, is he gets out of his, you know, soccer mom van, you know, and, you know, he's drunk as hell. They're like shining a light so he can get up the steps to go sing. He gets done, and of course, I'm backstage. I'm getting ready to tear down. And there's about maybe 20 women, you know, around our age, upper or lesser, you know what I mean, standing there. And Steven comes off, and, you know, they want an autograph, and the manager's like, well, I forget. Yeah, his manager was like, hey, you want to sign some autographs for, you know, these ladies? He was like, I ain't got time for that shit. And he walked on by. And I'm thinking, you're playing a parking lot in Geneva on the Lake, you know, and you can't sign 20 chicks' boobs. You know what I mean? I'm like, whatever. But it was a weird scenario. I mean, and I'm a huge Rad fan. You know, I Warren D. Martini, one of my favorite guitar players of all time. But no, it was one of those moments where it was, I almost wish I wasn't there because I hate the, I don't want that memory.
That's the same thing. Last week, Mr. Sports, when Cheap Trick acted like that, I used to like a lot of their music. Were I won't even assholes? Listen to it. Oh, well, listen, when the guy tells me to get out of my own place, I said, no, I'm not leaving. This is our stadium. And then the guy says, we also need a front wall higher than 4.5 feet. And I had to say, I don't think there's 60 year old women are going to climb over that fence.
Like I think you're going to be fine. Fetish, when we opened up for Great White, when they came, that we weren't allowed to be anywhere near, you know, and we're one of the, they're playing out of my freaking amplifier, and I'm not allowed to be in a certain, you know, area outside the building. You know what I mean? It was just like, I don't know. It was strange. It was like, some people get so uppity. And it's like, you're playing Los Gallos. Calm the
And they had down. One. Hit. or when Skinner,
once been twice shy.
Skinner did not want Left End on the same stage.
Really?
They made it clear that they did not want to play. You guys set up your own stage for your local act. That's fine. But I don't want them up here messing around because we're going to get started early.
Was it because the band or because of the gear?
Both. And they just didn't want to share the backstage. They didn't want that, you know. So then you had Dennis T. Menace get up drunk and yelling obscenities and, you know, who do you think you are? There's the band that we're paying a lot of money to, not you.
Speaking of Left End, I the short amount of time that I did take guitar lessons, I'm mostly self-taught, but the little bit of lessons I did take, Dave LeMasters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Remember Biviano Music? He was, I went there for,
Biviano's.
I think it's like golf store now.
Yeah. Biviano's. Remember Bell? Were you around with Bell's Music Store?
Yeah, Bell's. Yeah.
I took my drum lesson.
I got my first guitar, my first acoustic guitar came from there. Yeah. That was Downtown Warren, right? Yeah.
I remember when I got my first snare drum, it was raining and Chicago was on the radio 25 or 6 to 4. I remember the day like it was yet because it was such a big moment. Because when we were young, you didn't get a bunch of stuff. I got stuff at Easter, Christmas, birthday.
Oh,
and you didn't get stuff handed to you. It was like a major deal, me getting that snare drum. So I remember every little thing. I remember when I got my BB gun, I slept with it. So, I mean, everything meant like a huge deal to me.
Strangely, I wanted to be a drummer. But I had a smart mom.
Might not be the best thing for
her. She was like, at that time, they probably did exist, but we didn't know about it. But yeah, she was like, drums, you know, no volume. Yeah. So, but I did. I said, I'd be in basement. We had this rickety pool table. You know, you had to put books under the thing to level it out. Level, you know, and I had like the record player with AC/DC Back in Black rolling in. And I'd set up like boxes on the steps, you know, so they're all angled just right, you know, and I'd, you know, act like I was playing drums, and I wanted to be a drummer, but yeah, mom was like, you can play guitar. And I was like, all right. But
I mean, I remember I got my first stereo. Well, I had the carry tape deck in the middle speaker, you know, the, I got just this turntable with two speakers about this big. And this was before Bose were a speaker this big.
Oh yeah.
And the big, remember the big wall speakers that,
oh, yeah.
I had speakers this big.
The speakers were actually this big.
But I had ones this big when that was not a good thing.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't for space reasons. It was for cost reasons. They were this big. And I remember having it in my window. And I would go out and play basketball with these distorted. And I was playing Foreigner double vision through those. You could not make out any of the songs of my mom. Years later, go, I felt so bad for you that you thought that was a great thing and couldn't make out a word. Double vision.
Taking the whole stereo system outside. You got to run an extension cord. You know,
it was like a huge deal.
Yeah. Now you got like a JBL, like Bluetooth this big that sounds better than all them speakers. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Lay it out there.
I remember taking
turn my phone on and there you go.
You know, guys, we go play frisbee or football or something. You know, we bring out the, you know,
making a cassette tape with your favorite songs on it took like dubbing. Took like forever.
Well, like Casey Kasem, you're sitting there with like a pause button.
Here it comes.
Is that the song? Is that the song?
And then it would go over to the next song when it was done.
Oh my goodness.
But that's how it was, man. I mean, that's
it was great. There was
an 8-track tape.
People have no
and you
liked idea.
The song in the third track, number four. You didn't just go beep into that song, you had to play through whatever was ahead of it till you got to, you didn't get to do that with an 8-track. You just had to deal with it. You could go to the third thing, but you had to wait for the other songs to go through.
Oh shoot, like the first two things I ever had, I had a Beatles and a Kiss Alive 2 or 3 or whatever it was. I was little, I didn't even know how to work the 8-track, but you know that they were mine, so to speak. But yeah, my two first things ever were 8-track. But I remember when High Speed Dubbing came out, that was just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you just get somebody's tape, you know, and you could like record it in like a minute. It was awesome when that came out. That was technology at the time.
Do you remember the laser discs though?
I never used it. Yeah, I've seen them. I remember them, but I never had one.
I remember my cousin Kenny Smith coming over with Out of the Blue ELO, this big disc, shoved it in this thing.
That's about as popular as Beta on VCR.
Or what was that other thing that? Oh my gosh.
They had the big ones, they had the little ones, and then
my dad bought this. Oh my gosh. It was like $600. This video camera with the lights on it. And what you had to be standing right in front of the person. And to see it, they shoved this tape in a box. You had to be like right in front of it to see what it even was.
We got a VCR when they came. I remember when microwaves were coming out. It was like, but a VCR was like $1,200.
Oh yeah,
and it had like one button, a pause button, if you want to record something with the big old cord around.
And then you had to get an IT team to record the show.
Yeah. Oh yeah, try to set the clock or you know, yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah. Nobody ever
to this day. I don't know how to set the clock.
I don't think we ever did it. Oh, we did it wrong, and it never came out. But
try to set the timer on a VCR. That's you're going places if you can.
You're pushing
that out.
This button and you're thinking, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like hit this one 3 times, this one for you. It's like, all right, give me the cheat code for the
If you were watching it, you could tape it while you watched it, but that was it. Yeah, otherwise you had to program.
I would just record it while I was there. Yeah, there was no because there was no set in the time. Forget that. That was worse than the clock.
So yeah, actually I moved to oh my gosh. It took 5 guys to carry out of Grandpa Cafaro's TV entertainment console with the radio, with everything. Well, I could lift some heavy thing. My legs buckled under that, and we had like six guys carrying that out.
That was back. That was when they had like the big ass projection TVs.
It was, yeah, it was probably like a $30,000 like thing.
The red, yellow, and blue.
Oh yeah,
like
the
projection. You had to flip it. It was like, you know, getting in the time.
Oh my god! And not. It wasn't that long ago. I'm talking. 90s.
It really wasn't.
Nineties like, when I got Circuit City, I bought a swivel base, solid oak, 32 inch. Whoa! It was like $1,200. And then when I got rid of it, I threw it down the stairs. You can't carry it. It's too heavy. Can't get around anything. So I just pitched it out the door. There. You could set it by the road with a take me plus $10. Nobody's taking those TVs. Nobody wants anybody's used TV.
You know what cracks me up, though, is you got these little kids now, and parents are buying them all this high tech, you know, all this techie stuff. Huh. And they got like their sticky candy fingers all over it. And they're just like throwing it around and beating on it. And I'm just thinking, you know, if I had that stuff when I was a kid, there'd be like, you know, there was no way that that shit would be going on. But yeah,
I really, like, really am saddened a lot by they did not have video, real good video capabilities when I was playing sports or dating my wife. All those things that kids have now, all those memories that they... I mean, you had pictures, you had slides, an occasional movie camera, but I mean, now you can videotape your life.
Oh, right. Yeah. Just your phone. This thing right here has more technology. And this, my $30 phone has more technology.
But I'm just, it's amazing that they can go back and see, like my son, he can go back and look at his basketball game and re-watch it in slow motion and all this stuff.
Martial arts, we used to do that. We'd videotape, like, you know, before I'd go to a tournament or a world championship or something like that. You know, we do a lot of videotaping because, you know, the best way to catch your mistakes or to improve is to watch yourself,
right?
You know what I mean? So that I mean, that was great to do, but you know, we didn't have cell phones then. It was
like, didn't have like
video camera.
If you were playing baseball and you got in a slump, you didn't have any somebody videotaping and could see that you're, you know, going out in your front foot or your hands are dropping or things, little things like that, right, that could
unless
save
you. Unless
you
were doing it on purpose, you had to hunt down somebody from like three towns to find out who actually got a video of something. You know,
it's things that could have changed a slump that you were in for 2 weeks.
But at the same time, I also kind of feel bad that, you know, kids didn't get to, you know, rough it.
Have fun.
You know, because, yeah, they are. I mean, they're just, they are stuck to their tech, you know, and they don't know what it's like to go out and play Rambo and get dirty in the creek and climb a tree and break an arm.
Major things. Well, I was still playing with G.I. Joes and stuff. I was in seventh, eighth grade. And I remember the school bus going down and I had all my stuff out there. And my friend comes down. You out there playing with Action Jackson? And yeah. What are you going to do about it? I'll play with whatever. Or how about I got, my mom got sixth grade. I'll never forget it. Gift exchange. My mom got him Cowboys and Indians in that plastic bag. And I gave it to a kid. I won't say his name. But he paid the price for, what's this? I'm too old for this crap. And thinking about my mom buying it, I smacked him right in the head. There, I'll take him back from. And I retook my gift back and brought it home. My mom goes, what'd you bring those home for? Oh, well, you know, he said he really loved it, but I didn't want to hurt her feelings. I mean, she'd pack me a lunch and I would eat everything in there, even if I didn't like it, because I think moms of they're making it for
mom
me.
Mom made it. So you
now, if you don't get the right.
Now you go.
Like, I could go off.
Mom with like three different kids and each kid has to get a different meal for the day. You know what I mean? It's like for at dinner time, you got to cook, you know, this for that.
Here's what I want for Christmas. Model number 7892. Wait, when I become a person that just gets the model number you want, you buy the thing yourself. I could just picture me telling, no, Dad, I don't want my watch. I want a VF79, the exact model. Yeah. Right. Well, Santa doesn't have that model.
Yeah, in my family, it wasn't. You didn't get what you wanted. People like, you know, thought of, they actually put thought into it. Now, even though you're like, you might want something special or whatever. And a lot of times I usually, you know, my mom was smart. She'd get like 15 cheap things and like three or four real big things. You know what I mean? But yeah, she was like, you know, people in my family just always wanted to put thought into it and like get you something you didn't know you wanted. You know what I mean?
I always like to be surprised. If I'm just going to give you a list, I'll just go buy it myself.
Right. There's no surprise. We start getting that. There's no thought process. There's no, you know, I paid attention to you all year. You know what I mean?
I mean, I got so mad on Christmas morning and he's, you know, didn't get quite the TV. Santa's really going to take these back in about a minute.
I don't think I ever have the balls to have an upset look on my face on that. Yeah, there's just no way.
That days, was just, like, I would just, I can't even imagine hurting my, you know, parents' feelings that they got me something and me going, wow. I mean, actually, my son got up one time and ran upstairs mad because the watch wasn't the exact one.
I know from stories from my mom that I've had my
kid. It's just today's
moments, but yeah, my mom was a stellar woman. I mean, she worked her ass off to make sure that keep me in a lifestyle that I was, you know, we were wanted to be in. And but the thing is, it was just like, yeah, it was just back then. It was like there was no. I think I told my mom no once. I think I was like 6 years old. She rung my bell, and to this day, I never said no again.
Well, we didn't get the second stop it. You got the first stop it. Stop it. You didn't get the second stop.
There was no
second. The second one was he getting hit in his back of the head. I'll never forget, me and my cousin are Indians game flipping peanut shells over the side. I look back. My uncle and my dad are, come on, let's keep. I look back. All of a sudden, I didn't see my dad at all. And we keep going. Next thing you know, I got hit in the back of the head with the middle finger on the back of the head. What are you doing? Nothing.
I'm almost 50 years old, and to this day, like, my mom will show up, you know, unannounced, of course, and it's like the one day I didn't vacuum or something, you know, and she'll walk in, she'd be like, I raised you better than this. The one day I didn't clean, and you decide to come over, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, bless her.
Or
yeah,
my daughter, who never cleaned a dish, never cleaned a room.
Oh, we had a dishwasher.
We went over her place, and she told us to take shoes off. No. I'm like, oh, okay. Miss cleanliness now. All
this, like, the plastic on the couch. And stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, my wife's family, they had furniture you sit in and furniture you do not sit in. Yeah, like, and our special family, like, did
you
too. Had a
living room you didn't use.
Yeah, you sat on that thing and was like, what are you doing sitting on a couch? Get off of that.
That's an Italian thing. My stepdad, 100% Italian. The basement was like, everybody lived in the basement. You know what I mean? There was like full, you know, it was fully functional basement. You know, nobody lived upstairs. But yeah, my stepdad's parents, you know, they were, yeah.
I couldn't figure out, why am I not allowed to sit in it's something that's called a couch? I think we're supposed to sit in these, aren't we? Bro, I think I'm seeing the clicker. I think our time is up
already again.
Any last comments?
No, actually, I'm just glad to be back, you know. Yeah, but we got to think. Something together one of these days.
Definitely do. And
yeah, this is fun. I love
how's
this.
The book selling? My wife's still reading yours.
Oh yeah, what's the word on that so far?
If she's reading it, it's got to be good. She does not just read stuff. Just
I am. I'm nervous too because she's a tutor, teacher, all that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm nervous. I'm hoping she likes it. Yeah.
Oh, believe me, she wouldn't be reading it if she didn't like it.
But I'm procrastinating like it's my job. I mean, it's going slow because it was like, I'm starting to roll back into it now. I was just having a hard time with which direction I was going to take it. I was just at that pivotal moment where it was like, I'm going this way or that way, and I got to decide. And it took me a while to decide, but now I'm getting rolling on it. But
so anything new, any new ideas? Or no. Maybe we write a book about the show or something. Crazy excerpts from the Nostradamus show.
Uh-huh. We could do a gag reel,
takeouts,
right?
Things that were said off the air.
Right.
Trust me, they were better than the stuff on the air. All right, brother.
All right, thanks.
I appreciate you letting me bounce. Obviously, you're one of the popular people that people like to see on here. Because you just might say anything.
Oh,
and that's what's great about
it. I'm still wondering about, like, the FCC rules or whatever. Because, you know, you have no idea how bad I'm holding back. You know,
don't hold back. We're going to have a special edition, an hour version of the Don't Hold Back.
We'll have the Don't Hold Back show.
We'll just get zapped from electricity out of the chair.
Yeah, the one that my mom can't watch because she'll yell at me for.
All right, guys.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.